In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Garden of Paradise, actually before the Garden of Paradise was created, the devils had been cast out of heaven and they came down to this earth and they roamed the earth and they created chaos, disorder. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the Garden of Paradise with a wall around it that kept the devils at bay. But Adam was given a command by God. Go forth and subdue the earth. That is, his task at hand is to expand the Garden of Paradise, to chase the demons back. So right from the beginning, man has a job. We often look at the fall of Adam and that man must earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And we say, now man must work because we have sinned. But I'm telling you that from the beginning, God expected man to work. We were given bodies that are capable of work. We're given an intelligence that is capable of thinking, of reasoning, of acting. And God has given us a job. Go forth and subdue the earth. Reclaim the earth in the name of God. Chase these devils back. And that is exactly the same mission that we have been given. We have inherited this mission because no one has accomplished it yet. The devils are still in the world. And it seems the devils are getting stronger and stronger, and the sons of God are getting weaker and weaker, or fewer and fewer. And I think we have become cowards. We've become indifferent. And I wonder, where are the sons of God, as St. Paul speaks of in today's epistle, who cry out, Abba, Father. We have a Father in heaven, and he's given us a mission. We've got a job to do. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. Yes, we are sons of God, you might say, by adoption, because of our baptism, we have been adopted as children of God. But the adopted children takes not just the name, but he must take the heart. He must take the spirit of his Father. And what is the spirit of God? That we do good. He has sent us out. We have this mission. We are his stewards. And we must give an accounting. And when we think of giving accounting, we immediately turn to material things. We have to give an accounting of every cent we've ever had in our hands that God has placed there. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. That's perhaps the least important thing you're going to have to give an account for on the day of judgment. Yes, what have you done with the money? What have you done with your time, with your energy? What have you done with your life to serve God? What have we done? Have we sought to subdue the earth, to bring it unto subjection to God? Have we sought to restore all things in Christ? Or have we sat back and say, it's too hard, I can't do it? We're cowards. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And our world has somehow coddled us into this idea that indifference, futility, is the way to live. You're not going to win any battles with indifference. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to accomplish anything. And the gifts that God has entrusted you have been squandered. They have been wasted. And I think all too often we've coddled our children into a sense of indifference, and now we've got adults who are indifferent. They're not ready to take a stand. They're not ready to fight the good fight. They're not ready to embrace their cross and deny themselves and follow Christ. It's too hard. You want to be human? You must begin to develop the talents, the gifts that God has given you. It's not enough just to do the minimum and go to your teacher and hand in your work and say, I did my work. Isn't that enough? And I would ask the children, is that your best? Have you done your best? Is this what you want to hand to God on Judgment Day and say, is this good enough? Will this get me into heaven? What are we asking? What's the minimum amount of work and effort that I have to do in order to get through? I don't want to do 1 ounce more than the minimum. That's what we're telling God. And I'm telling you, if you only want to do the minimum, you're going to fall short. You're going to fail. And the gates of heaven aren't going to be open. You want God to open those gates of heaven for you? You need to do your best. You need to give it your all. You need to develop all the talents that God has given you. Not to just good enough, but to be the best that you want, that you can be. If you're not the best you can be, you just need to work harder. Are you the best man that you can be? Are you the best woman that you can be? Are you the best child that you can be? Are you the best employee that you can be? Are you the best boss you can be? Have you prayed the best that you can pray? What effort have you put into anything that you've done in your life? What have we worked for? What have we done? What have we accomplished? Well, I'm average. I've got an average income. I live in an average house. I have an average family. And everything is wonderful. You have squandered the gifts, the talents that God has given you. Average isn't good enough. God wants your best. He didn't come forth and tell us, you must love God just enough, just average. As long as you're average, you're good enough. That's not what he said. God made it very clear. You must love me with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul, with all that you have, all that you are. You have to put everything into it. You have to do your best. Give it your all. And if you die trying, so much the better. If you can die loving and serving God, that is the greatest, the best. The church has always held up the martyrs as the ideal, the goal. And average, good enough, is not good enough. Do I love God with all my heart and soul? Or is there room for improvement? We are here on earth to do our best. And I tell you, if you do your best today, then you need to try to do better tomorrow. And if you can improve a little bit tomorrow, then the next day I want you to try to improve a little bit more upon that. Never become satisfied because you are an ambassador of God. You are a servant of God. You are the representative of God. And so Christ holds out the challenge to us. Be perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. You are the sons of God. You've inherited this perfection. You have the life of God within you. This is your goal. And you say, but it's an impossible goal. I'll remind you what St. Paul says, that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. You can become better. And you're not perfect yet, and I know that because you're still here on earth. If you had accomplished your goal and reached your goal, you'd be in heaven. And I also remind sinners that you're not the worst person here. You're not the most evil. You're not the most terrible. You're not the most wretched. Well, how can you say that? It's because you're not in hell yet either. You're still here. God still loves you. He's given you time. He's given you opportunity. He's given you many graces, many gifts, and he still is waiting for you to love him. He's still waiting for you to fulfill those baptismal vows. I renounce Satan. I renounce his pomps. I renounce his works. And I become a child of God. I am a son of God. What have I done for God? What life am I living? What am I doing? And yes, there's room for all of us to hang our head in shame. There's room for us to be humble. But after that shame, that humiliation, it's time to raise our heads again and meet the world face on. I say meet the world, meet the devil. I don't care if you earn a lot of money. I don't care what your zip code is. I don't care where you live. I don't care about all these material things. That's not what's important. What have we done for God? What have we done in the spiritual realm? What evils have we fought? What battles have we entered into for God? How bravely have we fought? Have we picked up our cross and carried it? Have we actually examined our conscience? Have we begun to even think? It's time that we begin to think. Listen to the voice of God. What does it mean that I am a child of God? What does it mean that I am his representative here on earth? What does it mean to have the Holy Ghost living within me, to be sanctified and to be filled with sacramental graces? Am I doing the best I can? Am I putting forth the effort that I ought to put forth? And I know we can't all do all things, but we can find the talents that God has given us, and we can develop those. But most importantly, God has given us the faith. What have we done to promote the faith? It's not easy. Christ never promised it would be easy. Christ has promised you that the path to heaven is narrow, it is steep, it is rocky, it's difficult. Christ has promised you that you have to take up your cross daily and come follow him. Where did he say it's going to be easy? The closest I can tell you is when he said, if you embrace this cross for the love of me, I will make it light. I will make it sweet. I will make it a joy. But he didn't say it was going to be easy. St. Paul encourages us to fight the good fight. In the world, in politics, they tell the young men, if you won't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. Where are your principles? Where is your determination? Where is the virtue, the strength that God has given you? What have you done with it? Who do we see when we look in the mirror? Are we sons of God or sons of the devil? Children of the world or children of God? We need to really think about this. We need to become prudent as the servant in today's gospel. Who am I? What am I doing? What's going to happen to me? Because when we leave this world, the time to pray is over. The time to do penance is over. The time to change things is over. It's past. What are you going to do? To beg is too late. To labor, it's too late. Now is the acceptable time. Again, St. Paul says, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for us to realize, I am this unjust steward. I have squandered my master's goods. I have squandered my health, my resources, my intelligence. I've squandered the gifts God has given me. What am I going to do now? God's going to hold me to an account. I know what I shall do. I shall begin using these gifts, these talents that God has given me for the benefit of my fellow man. I'm going to forgive them any injuries that they've caused me, any hurt or pain. I'm going to forgive their debt. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to share what I have with those who are in need. Not because I want them to be lazy, but because God has blessed me with more than I need. For the love of God, I'm going to go forth into the world to win souls for Christ. I'm going to show the world what a child of God really looks like. I'm going to show the world what a child of God says, what he does, what he thinks, what he acts. And hopefully, I can make peace with my fellow men, but most importantly, I can make peace with God. This is the prudence our Lord is trying to inculcate in us. The children of the world are wise. They plan, they connive, they conspire. All for the devil. And our Lord is saying, you need to be even more prudent than they, but prudent for the things of God. Not the things of the world, not the things of the devils, but the things of heaven. Use the talents and the gifts that God has given you for good, for his honor and glory. And then hopefully when we come before judgment, when we must give an account of our lives, of the graces, the gifts that God has put in our hands, we will be able to not hold our head high, but without shame, to say, Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have done what was given me to do. I haven't been able to do it all perfectly, but I hope that the sacrifice of your only begotten Son will fill up the void in my own life, in my own efforts. But I have tried. I have worked. I have labored. I have put forth every effort that I could. And then we have reason to hope that our Lord will say, come, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you for all of eternity. But it will only come to those who have fought the good fight. It will only come to those who have sought to do their best to become perfect in whatever field of endeavor that God has given him that grace, to be the best that you can be. Whatever job it is that we have before us, we need to put our heart and soul into it and become the best that we can be, because this is what God is going to ask of us. What did you do with the grace that I've given you? Did you become the farmer, the doctor, the lawyer? Did you become the lover of God that I called you to be? How have you served God? Will we be able to say, I have done the best I can? I have really tried hard. And you say, but we're not all equal. You've preached to us many times that we're not equal. We can't all love the same. We can't all do the same. I will remind you once again, I have the idea, the image. If you have a nice big barrel full of water and you have a little tiny thimble that's full of water, the little thimble is full. If you say that water is the love of God, that thimble is filled with the love of God. It can't hold a drop more. And in that sense, it's just as good as the barrel that is filled with the love of God and can't hold a drop more. They're both filled to capacity. It doesn't matter whether your capacity is the size of a barrel, a bucket, or a little thimble, as long as it is full. And so our goal is to fill up that vessel of our soul with all the graces we possibly can, and never be satisfied with average or just enough, but always strive to fill it to the brim, to hold as much as we can. And every day of our life, if we fill our soul to the brim with the love of God, the next day our soul will have grown a little bit more, and we're able to do just a little bit more. That is what the good servant should do. The prudent servant will do this because he hopes to gain heaven, access to heaven. But we need to be prudent, but even more so, we need to do it for the love of God. We are his children. Let us take his interest and make them our own. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Tilt it back.